This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. Former Port Townsend City Manager David Timmons was on the job for 20 years, an unprecedented term of service for that particular position. Earlier this month, John Morrow, who last worked in New Zealand, took over the job. On this week's Compass, Charlie Brement talks to Morrow live on the air to hear his views about Port Townsend's future direction. So now, let's go inside the Compass.
Yes, thank you for tuning in. This is Charlie Brement, KPTZ-FM, part of the news staff here. I'm here with John Morrow, the new Port Townsend City Manager. Say hello, John.
Hey, Charlie. Hey, everybody.
Okay, everything's working. That's always wonderful. John has been here for about 2 weeks. He's coming from a job in New Zealand. He is our second city manager in our history. So a bit of history. We had something called a strong mayor system in the late 90s, and then there was a citizen effort to change it to what we now have is a weak mayor system, where we have council and a manager operating together. So it can be a bit confusing to those of us on the outside, and maybe some of them on the inside, as to what a strong mayor, weak mayor system really is. So John, can you enlighten us?
Well, thanks, Charlie, and it's great to be here. I really appreciate the time, and hopefully this isn't the last time we get a chance to talk. And of course, after 2 weeks, I pretty much know everything there is to know, right? So that's why I'm here. So look, I think just in how our government works, I'll just kind of keep it simple here. You're absolutely correct. We went from strong mayor to weak mayor system, much like many cities around Washington State. And what that does is it allows us to have the governance be quite clear among the elected council members, and they appoint the mayor themselves, and the operational aspect of running a city to the city manager. So the department heads all report to me, and my job is more about the operational aspects of managing the city.
And who reports to whom?
Well, I report to them. Mm-hmm. So their political direction is my direction as city manager, and that I give the department heads.
Okay, and so what happens when there's an argument? Does they prevail?
Well, hey, look, this is Port Townsend. There's never any arguments and opinions, right?
No, that's your opinion.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, one of the things that's top on my list, and I've been really, it's been a joy to meet all the council members and, of course, a lot of the staff so far at the city and, of course, the community members. But in those conversations, I think heading off confusion and conflict early is probably the best approach. So I think having those conversations about role and responsibility, ultimately, you know, I am accountable to them, but they're also required by state law to make sure that I have my role and responsibility as well. So it's a bit of a funny dance sometimes, but at this point, we're off on a great start. And, you know, with some advanced planning on how the dance moves work, hopefully the trips will be minimal or maybe even nothing.
Okay, so you're how old now?
I'm 44.
Okay, so that's probably about how old David Timmons was when he got here. I mean, give or take.
And it's like 140 in New Zealand years.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Ask Gandalf, seriously.
Yeah. Oh, right. So, yeah, you probably went to the Lord of the Rings theme park down there.
No comment.
Okay, so, yeah, just don't be hanging around with those orcs. But so Mr. Timmons had this, what we call an unprecedented tenure as city manager, mm-hmm. something that takes 5 years, you know, usually takes 3 to 5 years out of your life. So he got here when he was mid-40s and had mm-hmm. probably no clue he was going to be here to retire. I know anything can happen, but what's your feeling in terms of the longevity of a job like this?
Well, look, I mean, I think it's great to put me on the hook first, you know, a couple weeks on that. I mean, I think maybe a couple points to make. I mean, when my family and I moved back to the Northwest from New Zealand, that's a big move. I mean, you know, it's a long way to hear from where we were living. And we weren't being sort of haphazard about that. I mean, we were quite clear that we wanted to come back to the United States, and we were quite picky about where we wanted to be. And so I think the investment we've already made to be here in Port Townsend, including, you know, buying our first house and, you know, being quite active, I think, already in the community, understanding how this works. I'm by no means even close to understanding or to having experienced all that Port Townsend has to offer. But, you know, these first few weeks when we're already having dinner parties with our neighbors, when we're already at big community events, where we're already getting our library card and our co-op card and meeting people at Safeway. I mean, this has been, and anybody listening, regardless of what you think of the city or of the job I've done so far, I am grateful for the kind of reception we've received. So, you know, taking all that into account, you know, the fact that we made a very deliberate move, that we were very, very picky about where we want to live. This job is, I mean, essentially my dream job. I mean, this is, it's a fantastic team. It's a fantastic community. I certainly don't, at least by my choice, have any indication that I'm going to be leaving here anytime soon.
Well, right. I mean, it's just sometimes you go into a job and think that you're going to do this much more time in it. But so you have a family with young children then?
Yeah, that's right. My wife, Annie, and my daughter, Madeline, who's going to be 5 in January.
Oh, my Lord. So, you just want to get her through school here, and that's going to be 18 years. So, yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting point, Charlie, because, I mean, one of the decisions that my wife and I were making to come here really coincided with my daughter's schooling as well. And so, you know, I think that's not something you just kind of pick up and uproot yourself several times. I mean, you can, people do, they have to. We're really privileged to be able to make a choice and to root ourselves into this place. And that's what we intend to do.
Okay, so we're talking to John Morrow, our new Port Townsend City Manager. I'm Charlie Bermant. This is a special live edition of Compass. John, you were last in New Zealand. So maybe tell us a bit about your experience there and how you're going to take the experience you had there and apply it here.
Well, that's an interesting line of inquiry. I think, I mean, I would hope that including all of you listening and including everybody who has a career or has life goals, that they continuously build on each other. And so undoubtedly, I take my experience of about almost 7 years in New Zealand and bring it here. I was lucky to be there, the city's chief sustainability officer, and it's a city where the city staff number greater than this entire town. So I was used to very large.
Seriously, you have 10,000 people working for the city?
That's correct, yes. Wow. It's a city of 1.6, 1.7 million. And so the scale was quite a bit different, but it was also an amalgam of previously smaller cities. And so it had a small town feel, but a kind of a big city presence as well. And just went up a little bit in loud. The experience of being the city's chief sustainability officer gave me a broad and all-encompassing perspective into public works and planning and civil defense and emergency management and, you know, things like climate change, things like inequality and economic development. It's a little bit of everything. And my job is sort of to see the connections between everything, to think not just ahead to tomorrow, which is important, but also ahead to the next generation or two. And I can't think of why that wouldn't be an applicable thing that we'd be doing here. You know, it's to bind things together, to think about how we take the city in the direction that we all generally want to go. And it's the interconnection between a whole raft of portfolios and projects and initiatives of which, you know, not everyone can go forward because we've got limited resources, limited budget, and so we have to make some tough calls on how to get where we want to go.
Yeah, I was thinking of that, how, you know, you're in a huge city with 10,000 people on your staff and you need something done, and you get it done by asking about it because you have these tremendous resources. So here we are in a place where there's actually less. You have, you know, a small staff, a small town, small budget. How are you going to make it work?
Well, I'm slightly hoping that none of my team back in New Zealand are hearing this, but I'm going to say that I've got the best team here. I mean, I've got some really dynamic, amazing professionals, and I haven't yet met them all. But what I've seen so far, and what I saw during the interview process, I was very impressed by. And I should say the same with the community. No other community, in my understanding, and that of the recruiter, had gone through such a public engagement process that we have here. So, I mean, those are very attractive things for me. So I would say, starting with a great team, we can get a lot done. They're good at listening. They're smart as a whip, and they're really dedicated to Port Townsend. And, you know, look, and in some ways the principles don't change. You know, it might seem crazy to think that a city with 10,000 staff is constrained, but that city was growing by about 40,000 people a year. So when you're growing at a big rate, when you've kept your rates and your taxes at a similar level, we were actually having to make very difficult decisions about what not to do. And in an environment where there was lots of deferred maintenance and lots of things that needed fixing. So the principles hold true. You might have to slice a few zeros off the budgets, but I intend to operate very much the same way, making tough calls.
Okay, so you've only been here 2 weeks, and so you, as you pointed out at the beginning, you know everything there is to know.
I was kidding for those at home who thought I was serious.
Not serious. Well, you know, you go out on the air and it's all serious, you know, unless it's like the Smothers Brothers show or something. But so what in Port Townsend needs fixing?
Well, look, I think this is something that me personally, I think I need to do my job of listening and understanding far better in the next several months before I come out swinging on what I think needs fixing. I mean, we have a capital improvement project that's up again to council this evening. We have a budget that's going through the process. A lot of those items have to do with, you know, some deferred maintenance and some issues when from transport to parks to libraries that we've been trying to get moving for a while, and we still need to push go on. You can't be in this town very long without talking about affordable housing and even homelessness. And as gut-wrenching as that is, I mean, it needs to be addressed directly. So broad picture, I have a sense of what needs some action that's probably already gotten quite a bit of action. But what I'm aiming to do is not just come out piecemeal project by project, but to really think cohesively and strategically and sustainably about where we're going. And to that, we actually have a strategic plan that was that's been codified. And so those five pillars, if I could quiz myself here, I think I can remember them all. I mean, affordable housing is one of those five pillars, which is you know, focus areas for the city. We have the city as an organization and the staff, so we can't operate a great city without a great city staff. You've got infrastructure and some of the concerns around infrastructure and funding infrastructure that we need. You have public trust and confidence and well-being. So, you know, to really move forward with a city together, we need to do that as a community. And why am I forgetting? Oh, I think economic development. So clearly jobs, housing, economic development are intimately tied together. So, you know, those are five focus areas of a strategic plan that actually exists right now. There's a number of strategies under those. But to me, that's a bit of a guiding piece for where we need to focus our attention as a city, because it's been through a public process.
But economic development, every person who has run for anything since I've been here has said we got to bring new jobs to Port Townsend, but that kind of doesn't happen in a big way. What is the answer to that, or is there any answer to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are probably multiple answers and perspectives on that, and I'm just beginning to understand that. You know, I had a really good conversation with the EDC and with the chamber last week, and as I get out to actually become a patron of some of the businesses and actually a consumer of some of what the city has to offer, as well as listen to the businesses, their concerns. You know, I guess in broad principles perspective, I would say, you know, it's not a silver bullet. You know, there needs to be a raft of approaches, much like what we've done with affordable housing. And we have a long ways to go, but last week we took a package of changes from ADUs to SEPA thresholds to planning code through the council committee and the council, and you know that was done as a package to move us forward. I think the same thing with economic development. It's not just one strategy or the next. It's actually how they complement each other and work together. So it's my hope that I could do a lot more listening about what is needed, a lot more partnership, because we're not going to have the answer as a city alone. We need to work in partnership. And to think about the economic future that we want here. We've got a few major employers, including the city and the hospital and the mill. We have what seems to me a very dynamic, up-and-coming group of entrepreneurs and small business owners, which really breathes life into the city, as well as keeps a lot of the dollars local. So to me, I'm really grateful this is one of the top five focus areas for the strategic plan, because doing this right could both move us forward in attracting more jobs and actually getting more employment here. It could also help shape the port towns that most of us, or hopefully all of us, want, which is dynamic, local, connected, and actually doing well into the long term, not just the short term economic gain.
And we have a pretty old demographic here.
So I'm told.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're kind of the baby in the room at this point. So how does that affect the decisions of a city when you have that kind of age imbalance?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's balance or imbalance, because, you know, every community is different. And I think I choose to look at it kind of in a, not the deficit model of why don't we have young people. I mean, I think that's a very good question, but I think I tend to look at it that what is possible with the demographic that we have. And I mean, it's probably early for me to say, but I see huge civic engagement and volunteerism as being part of what defines the city. And it's an incredible gift. I mean, I've talked to hundreds, I think at this point, hundreds of people who are passionate about their issue or issues. They donate a lot of their time. We were tallying up volunteer time at council chambers a couple weeks ago, and we were talking thousands and thousands of hours. I think it's 4,700 hours or something like that already to date on city-specific volunteer initiatives like parks, libraries, and police. I mean, can you imagine as a community how many volunteer hours and what kind of, you know, people bringing their career with them when they retire, and we can tap into that intellectual and social capital. So to me, I'm actually really thrilled about working with such a dedicated and generally more time-rich group of people. That isn't to say that there should be some concern about what happens, you know, in 15 or 20 years. And if we're not planning for the future and for families and for, frankly, diversity in town, not just in age, but in a whole raft of other aspects, then we probably won't be as strong, as vibrant, and as resilient a city. So I think we should be doing both.
Okay, we're here with John Morrow, the Port Townsend City Manager. You were the Director of Sustainability in Auckland. So how specifically are you going to translate that knowledge to what we need to be doing here?
Yeah. Well, luckily, you know, those who are outside of Port Townsend or this area might need sustainability explained to them. I kind of doubt that too many people need that here, because I see people really embodying their beliefs and a pretty long-term smart approach for how we want to do society. So, I mean, to me, it's just playing to strengths here, thinking about how to, you know, to your last question, how to utilize that understanding of how everything's connected up and how you can't do economic development and jobs without housing, and you can't do, you know, environmental protection without thinking about economic and social consequences or opportunities. I mean, that's sort of my bread and butter. So I think some others might define sustainability quite narrowly, and I tend to describe it as kind of everything with a long-term approach. It's you know, better for everybody forever. And I think that's clearly something that we're wrestling with as a community of where do we want to go? And as I've said to some before, you know, if we don't plan for the future happens to us. And I think I'd rather be in the driver's seat or the bike seat or the transit bench, thinking about where we want to go and actually anticipating some of those concerns, like, you know, greater inequality and social injustice, climate change, changing national tensions. You know, there's a whole range of things we should be thinking about and baking into the short-term decisions that we make.
Yeah, but the climate change, I mean, there's a huge national controversy as to whether it exists. We have...
Sorry to cut you off. I mean, I wouldn't say that's a controversy because I think that's been put to bed. I think it's more maybe a controversy about what we want to do about it at this point. But sorry, go ahead.
Okay, the question would be pretty much the same as that with the federal government not really paying attention to this, how does a city government, what can a city government do? Is it just all about keeping your corner of the planet clean or what?
I mean, that's a great question because one of the roles that I played as Chief Sustainability Officer in Auckland was the main conduit, aside from the mayor directly in the sort of elected member sense, but the main operational conduit to a group of cities called C40 cities. And these cities are large mega cities and innovator cities around the world committed to really taking on climate change, not just reducing emissions, but preparing for the impacts we're feeling and that we will feel into the future. And the role of the cities couldn't be clearer there. They are literally helping to shape international policy. They're at the table, had a massive presence at COP21 in Paris, a few years back, which I attended with my mayor then, I did go with the mayor. I think, sure, we can keep our corner of the planet clean and for all sorts of reasons that are just obvious. Like, we save money, we help turn the tide on human health disasters, and we could benefit socially from doing a lot of these things. But the power of the cities has always been something that has been on my mind. When I worked in the mayor's office of sustainability for the city of Seattle under Greg Nichols, he had taken a huge step toward uniting 1,400 mayors across the United States when the United States was not going to sign the Kyoto Protocol. And we and 1,399 other cities committed to achieving the requirements under the Kyoto Protocol as cities. And when you think about the number of people, the number of the vast amount of infrastructure, and the number of emissions, if cities all just decided to do it, we would possibly get 40% or so of the way there. So, not only do cities have a real galvanizing advocacy and kind of influence role, they play a role in actually, literally reducing emissions and preparing for climate change. They're on the front lines.
But you have to band together. So mm-hmm. maybe the idea is to get everybody here with the city government to band